Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to have a very, very senior and well-known individual from the advertising industry, Susan Josie. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Susan is the managing partner of Avas Life Sorrento. So Susan, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your career or your life?
First of all, thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me on this show. I'm so privileged to share the story, and I really would be happy that, you know, if even a little bit, if it can be inspiring for people around, it'll be great. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, what really have been my three big milestones in life, I can clearly recall one was at a very impressionable age of 24, I actually got a scholarship to go to Belgium. Mm-hmm. It was called as the UNIDO scholarship, and three pharmacists from all over India were selected. So it was a big aha moment for me to see what the world outside was, because, you know, having come from very, very humble backgrounds, not really, you know, worked a lot through the way with parents who were working all through their lives, and getting this opportunity to go outside the country and being one among 35 other country representatives, for me, it was an eye-opener. Mm. You know, it really opened my eyes to what the world outside is. Mm. And that was one big milestone in my life, because something that I went there for just 6 weeks, it actually went on to become a six-month story, because I got selected for another scholarship out of the 35 countries. Wow. So my mother had packed my bag for 6 weeks, and I actually stayed on for 6 months.
Amazing.
And with that scholarship, because every month we used to get 23,000 Belgian francs, I remember that very clearly. Mm-hmm. I used that money to literally travel every weekend to all the nearby countries of Europe. So that's the time I saw Switzerland, Germany, France, and I experienced a lot of things that time, literally right from racial, you know, differentiation and discrimination to how to travel on your own, how to start being very independent, being, you know, very, very assertive in the way you move in this world. So that was a life-changing moment for me, and that really molded a lot of my life, you know, aspirations, attitude, everything kind of made a lot of difference at that age. The second, of course, was another big, you know, life-changing moment that I always quote, was when I moved from a very disciplined R&D world to marketing. Mm-hmm. And I spent a good 6 years in formulation development, because after pharmacy, that was the most common trajectory for every person who's finished from a prestigious university like Udacity. Mm-hmm. And that was really something that I had to take a real strong call in my life, you know, because you've always been a R&D person, and suddenly you decide that you want to get into marketing. It was not something that even my family was very appreciative of, especially my father, like, what would you do? I mean, you'd be traveling all over the world. You know, you have something very very nice and steady here, your children will be taken care of. And I was already married by then with a child of 3 months. Mm. But I must say, my husband was very, very, you know, supportive. And he said, if that's what your heart is telling you to do, please do it. Mm. So that was a second great milestone in my life. And the third was, of course, another one, which is why I'm here, is because I started my own agency, Sorrento. Mm. This also was not something that I ever thought I would do. Again, you know, my father was like, we've never been a business family. How do you think you're going to run a business? And I mean, in 1994, when I took the plunge to start something on my own, I had a lot of pushback. You know, where is the money? Would you be able to do it? You're giving up a very steady job. You're going to be the next marketing head of a company, because I was doing well in my organization. Mm-hmm. My organizational, you know, my bosses and my employers, I mean, they all actually took me out for drives and convinced me that what I'm doing is wrong. Mm. But I don't know, I had this high, you know, I had this courage of conviction that this is a gap in our industry, so I must do it. Wonderful. So that's my third big milestone that
Fantastic.
I did. That's brought me where I am today.
Fabulous. So yeah. Before I come and I talk to you about Avas Life Sorrento, you know, when I was reading about you, I was fascinated to read what you call your mantra, and I'm going to read that out. In my childhood, I had a tough time coloring within the defined lines for which I was always punished. Though it was tough then, it almost became part of my life's philosophy to color outside the lines and create a different picture. So be it managing a business or for that matter, addressing client briefs, this mantra remains deeply ingrained. Help me understand your mantra.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think, you know, whatever I must have written, it also tells a little bit of my own, if I may say DNA, a little bit that goes back into who I am and what I am. I think one of the things which is there from right from the beginning and early childhood where, you know, your parents shape a lot of what you do. Mm-hmm. I used to be very curious about everything and everything was about a why. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. You know, and that actually stayed with me and continues to stay with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I asked this question many times to myself that why am I doing this? I mean, mm-hmm. am I happy doing this? Does it give me a certain way of looking at life differently? Mm-hmm. So this why becomes a part of your, you know, mental chatter when you're doing something. And that actually makes you think also differently. So I still remember when I was, you know, doing this whole decision making of moving from R&D to marketing, I kept thinking to myself, the world will really think I'm gone mad. I mean, everything is perfectly going well. I was a formulation development head with a company called Hext, erstwhile Hext, which is today Sanofi. And I had a very good position. I was having a very, very, proper job, which is taking care of my family. But I was constantly questioning myself that, why am I doing this? And am I really happy on this? And that actually started triggering the thought that I could do something better. So I used to go and ask my R&D marketing guys that we are making this tablet. Who's this consumer? Who's the patient? Do they like this kind of tablets? So that questioning mind started taking over. And then I always talk to myself and say, you know, and I have this one philosophy additional is, you can deceive the whole world, but you can't deceive yourself. You have to live with yourself. Correct. And if you're not happy what you're doing, you have to step out and see what gives you that joy, right?
Yeah.
So this piece of, you know, moving beyond and thinking beyond, even today, when we do any project for a client, I always think, why has this client come to us, right? They may be wanting a solution which they have not thought of. So if I'm going to give the same solution to them, it's a no-brainer. That client is not going to think that you've added any value to his business. So I always even tell my team the same thing. I said, think about it, that if you are in this client's shoes, would you do the same thing? Yes. Then why would he come to you? So that why piece, when you start answering, you start getting more depth into your, your solution providing, because we are actually at the end of the day, a support to the marketing teams. We coexist with the marketing team. So that's very actually been the philosophy.
Very, very interesting. So let's now come to your little baby, Avas Life Sorrento. Tell me about the kind of work you are doing.
Yeah. So again, I mean, going back to the time we started the agency, the concept of healthcare communications, and that is important to understand because even today, this whole space of healthcare advertising is actually a very, very niche, you know, space in its own way, because we deal a lot with the pharmaceutical industry. Now, way back in 94, when I was thinking of moving out and starting an agency, I remember doing a lot of research and trying to find out. And it actually started off because when I was a marketeer, we used to write our own copy. We used to visualize where to put the visual, element, which font to write, how to write slogans. And I kept thinking, why am I doing this? Because that's not what I'm qualified to do. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a marketeer. I've done my marketing. But I can appreciate good creativity. But can I be creative in writing great copy, doing good visualizing? And that's when I started looking at the outside world. And I said that, in US or in EU region where it is more developed, it was a $2 billion industry, this whole healthcare communication business. There were agencies which were working only with the pharma industry. And we here in India didn't have this concept. So marketers used to have these small-time graphic artists, designers, And they used to actually instruct them, upar jaake idhar likho, write this like this. And I'm like, that's not what we are supposed to do. So I decided that it's time, it's time to start an agency on its own might, where I hire a good copywriter, get a good art person, get the strategic thinking right. So you can imagine, Ashutosh, in those days when I used to go and speak to pharma guys, they say, are you here to take our jobs? And I'm like, are you here to write copy and visualization? Instead of that, would you not look at your brand from a brand manager's perspective? And I used to give them examples of P&G and Unilever and what brand managers do. So frankly, that's where the whole genesis started. So Svenjo, and those days we had another name, Soham. So there's this graphic design, you know, friend of mine who used to come and visit me, and he said, Susan, I think you're cut out for something like this. I'll give you a small place. You start and then see how it works. So I had this one pune, one copywriter who doubled up as everything. And then we used to have these, you know, black rooms where we used to paste the, you know, stencils. So I've started from that era.
Fantastic.
And grown to this whole, you know, in agency. And I was very, very lucky to also find my co-partner, Sangeeta, who was with the industry. She was my client. She gave me a hard time. So I told her one day, I said, why don't you come this side? Then you'll know how to deal with clients. It was good because in 98, she joined. And together then we made this a very, very robust organization.
Fascinating.
And that's also the time when we did a small JV with Ogilvy and Mather. I was, you know, I moved out and became the executive director for Ogilvy Healthcare. And it was very nice that Sangeeta also, you know, stayed back. She continued growing the small agency that we had set up for healthcare. But in 2004, we actually got together and made a stronger effort to build Sorrento, which is the agency which we actually nurtured, groomed, made it into one of the strongest healthcare communication agency in
India. Very interesting.
And in 2017, we got acquired by Havas, which is the French multinational. Of course, before that, we had many acquisitions. We were like runaway brides, WPP, Omnicom, you name it, they wanted to. Because that's a time when healthcare communication got its, you know, place of pride.
Very interesting.
And today, almost every agency wants to have a healthcare arm, because I think if there is one reason why we are talking about COVID is because health has become the center stage of
everything. Absolutely. So tell me, you know, I came into the pharmacy business when I founded Guardian from a non-pharmacy but marketing background. And I said, this is a very peculiar industry.
Yes.
The brand owner, which is the one that manufactures the brand, does not spend any money on the consumer, but spends all their marketing dollars on the person who prescribes to the consumer.
Yes, yes.
And of course, there's a lot of complexity. So it's very difficult to build a healthcare brand.
Yes.
What, in your opinion, needs to be done to build a successful healthcare brand?
I think it's a you know, fantastic question. And Ashutosh, this is really the complexity of you know, brand building in healthcare. So one thing we must remember, that the ones who have really done it very well, look at some of the, I mean, global companies, let's accept that a lot of it starts from their innovator brands. They know the science extremely well, right? And they're also deep into their phase two, phase three, shaping the market. They work with, you know, a lot of the key opinion leaders. So they do it very differently. And so when they launch it in India, they already have a lot of data with them. And they already have the upper hand because they know the whole space extremely well. So many of the international brands becoming number one in India, to a large extent, if they have managed the price value equation well, they get it right. So even many oncology brands, you know, most of the oncologists in India, they would still go for a multinational because they know that the studies are right. The product comes from, you know, a manufacturer's site, which is very well, you know, endorsed. So those sometimes always works in favor of the multinational brands. But in India, we are a very, you know it again, being from the pharmacy space, we're a branded generics market.
Correct.
Right? So that is where I think the real fun lies, because here is where you're jostling for your brand being remembered. your marketing prowess coming up in full form. Mm-hmm. And to a very large extent, we are a very field force driven market, right?
Correct.
It's a very, very strong relationship that the field force have with the pharmacy, with the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really sometimes the tipping point also.
Correct.
So one is, of course, from a very strong marketing strategy, what you say, how you say, what will make your brand stick into the doctor's mind? Because at the end of the day, a doctor is also, look at any brand for that matter, any popular anti-infective. You'll have at least 100 brands that a doctor has to remember.
Mm.
So in most cases, what happens for the doctor, it's also the person who is detailing to the doctor, the corporate brand that also works. So if you look at some of the segments like psychiatry or cardiology, a Sun Pharma has a dominant position because they have established a very strong relationship with the doctors.
Doctors
in that segment, you know. Now that relationship itself becomes a head start when they are launching a new brand. And then of course sometimes it's the speed with which they launch it, the name, the brand name, the way the brand is presented, and that's where our role comes very strongly. And most often than not, a lot of, I hate to use the word gimmicks, but a lot of what you do inside the clinic to make the brand memorable goes a long way.
Very interesting. Because
today the rules of the games are changing. There's a lot of dependence on non-rep medium of communication. It's more omni-channel. It's more how do you kind of make your brand stand for a larger purpose.
Okay.
So our spiel also to the industry is go beyond the doctor, look at the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Play back what the patient is going through your brand and empower the doctor. Because
so let me add a follow-on question to that. How is the digital ecosystem beginning to change healthcare branding or marketing?
In a big way, Ashutosh, in a real big way. Firstly, patients are so much more empowered, right? They are no longer patients, but they are super consumers. You talk about any disease, I think the patients know the disease. Sometimes I don't want to say this, but they know it at a very, very deep level.
Correct.
And the depth at which they talk, it kind of, you know, even being a pharmacist, I get confused. I mean, is that the real story, you know? It only tells you that patients being so empowered, doctors are also, you know, getting a lot more challenged. So while on one side, there is a plethora of information, they have a lot which they can read and which they can get onto. But with the paucity of time, in the kind of, you know, bandwidth that they are living today with, we need to look at how, as marketers, we can give them a lot of bite-sized information. You know, I call it like snackable marketing.
Correct.
So, I mean, my son is a doctor. He is a budding nephrologist. And many times I ask this question, how do you keep yourself updated? So, he says like, you know, Ma, 3 times a week I have on-call, 24/7 duty. I just don't get the time to read it.
Correct.
But he was giving me some sites, some, you know, knowledge sites, which actually give them updates at a very regular level.
Okay.
And he says, that's what we cherish because it keeps me up to date. It gives me things which are more comprehended. It's like pressy writing, you know. So this is actually where marketers, and this is a clue for us as marketers or as communication partners, that what is it that our doctors are going through? What is the gap that they are seeing? And then how do I use digital to reach wherever they are at any point of time?
Very interesting. So I'm going to now move to one more question before I move to some questions for you personally, given our time constraints. you know, you've been a pharmacist. You've been all over the world. You've built such an amazing business in healthcare, advertising and marketing. What are some of the core values you believe in?
Three or four of them. One, of course, I must have mentioned it a few times. I think if you love what you do, everything becomes a natural way in which you deal with life.
Correct.
Because there is no facade. There is no, there is nothing that is beyond you as a person, right? So which comes to the second value of being as genuine as you can. I mean, how genuine you are in your way in which you deal with people, deal with your business, you know, deal with anyone that you come across, because if people see that, and that to me is a big value, that you really are very genuine, you're very true to what you are saying and what you do. And I think the third, and I think is very important, is it's all about human relationships. You know, I don't want to sound like Mother Teresa or any of that, but I always put the humanity and the human in front of me. So if anything, I mean, any situation in life, it could be your maid, it could be your employees, it could be people whom you deal with. Instead of judging them, instead of, you know, looking at it from a subjective person, I think the moment you put the human side to every, you know, interaction, you see things far more objectively.
Okay.
You know, you see things much more differently. And I think that's a very fundamental value on which even my parents must have brought me up on that value.
Absolutely.
And that matters a lot to me. That
very interesting.
Everything else follows if you can practice these three or four things in life.
So I've got time for two more questions for you, Susan.
Yeah,
my first question is, and this is for you personally again, you know, so much success, you know, you've done so many things, you will continue to do so many more things. Where you are today, as you look back, what does success mean to Susan?
Very, very simple. For me, it's about having a sense of purpose in life. I mean, at every stage of my life, it could be when you're studying, when you're working, when you're now past that active working life, even now when I have the next 40 years of my life, whatever, you know, God gives me, I always want that sense of purpose. And for me, that's the success that I bank on. Because the moment I have a sense of purpose, then my day, my reason to wake up every day becomes very meaningful for me.
Very interesting.
Otherwise, honestly, I don't know what I'm waking up to. Today, even if I wake up today, you know, hey, I've got this, I have to talk to my team. So it just keeps you propelled in life. And I think if you don't have that propulsion, if you don't have that sense of purpose, life does become a tragedy.
Very nice. And my last question to you now, you know, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to you and me talking and all the advice you're giving. What would your advice be to a young individual, or let's say a young pharmacist, starting off on their life, in the corporate world?
You know, Ashutosh, I mean, I often talk about this to a lot of students, because I do go sometimes visiting colleges. And one of the things I say, you know, I give them a very interesting line. I said, you know, when you say entrepreneurship, okay, if you actually translate it into Sanskrit, it's called antraprerna, okay, which is meaning inspired from within.
Within, yeah.
Right? It has to come deep from within. And which only means, it's not about being an entrepreneur means you start, oh, I need to find the next startup. I think entrepreneur is your philosophy when you start in anything in life. I mean, are you inspired from within? Is it like something deep that is giving you the joy of doing what you want to do?
Correct.
If I had to tell youngsters, and which I always tell even my children or my nephews and nieces whom I encounter, is keep questioning this to yourself. Do you really like what you're doing? Are you inspired from within? And then the hard work, the diligence, the commitment, the drive, everything comes together. Because the moment the fundamental is in place, everything else follows. And then success, money, everything follows. I mean, if I just have to give one small thing, is, I mean, we came from really, really humble backgrounds, from a one-room kitchen to where we are. There was nothing was spoon-fed, nothing was given to you. But this philosophy of constantly inspiring, getting inspired with the people whom you meet, the way you will want to look at your life. And it's not about saying, what's my goal in the next 10 years? I think this is the most fuddy-duddy question anyone can ever ask.
Correct.
I always want to ask, how do you feel today?
Correct.
What's your today looking like?
Yes.
You know? And can you feel inspired from within today? And that is what will make you move ahead.
Well said.
This is actually how I mean, because each person has to live with their challenges and their problems, but you can overcome this. The moment you start getting inspired from within to move ahead. And, you know, I remember reading this autobiography by Paramahansa. He always says that, you know, you can't change what happens around you, but whatever you can do, you can change from within.
Correct. Well said. Well said. Susan, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for your incredible comments on so many different subjects. I wish you and everything that you're doing lots of success.
Thank you so much. It's really my pleasure. I'm really humbled that you could get me onto a show like this, and that's what matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.